For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
It was late, much later than I'd planned to be out. But after the week I'd had, all I wanted was a little escape. I'd taken the back roads, the kind that stretch on for miles with nothing but dark fields. I was looking for the silence, the empty roads, the freedom of being alone with my thoughts. I'd been driving for nearly 2 hours, and the gas gauge on my dashboard was creeping dangerously close to empty. I wasn't worried, though. I'd passed through this area before, and I knew there was a small gas station up ahead, the kind of place that's barely more than a shack with a couple of pumps and a flickering neon sign. It was old, run down, and probably the last place you'd want to stop at night, but it was reliable. When I finally spotted the faint glow of the station sign in the distance, a wave of relief washed over me. The engine sputtered a little as I pulled into the lot, the tires crunching over the gravel. The place was empty, as expected. There was only one car parked on the side of the building, an old, beat-up sedan that looked like it had been there for years. I parked by one of the pumps and turned off the engine, the sudden silence making my ears ring. The fluorescent lights above the station buzzed softly, flickering in and out like they were struggling to stay alive. I grabbed my wallet and stepped out of the car, the cool night air sending a slight shiver down my spine. The station was just as I remembered it, isolated, eerie, and barely functional. The convenience store looked closed, its windows dark, but the pumps were still on, and that's all I cared about. As I started pumping gas, I glanced around, feeling more aware of my surroundings than I normally would. There was something about being out here, in the middle of nowhere, that made me feel vulnerable. Maybe it was the emptiness of the place, or maybe it was just the darkness around. Either way, I couldn't shake the uneasy feeling creeping into the pit of my stomach. And that's when I saw him. At first, I thought it was just my eyes playing tricks on me. The dim lighting, the shadows cast by the flickering neon sign, it wouldn't have been the first time I'd imagined something that wasn't really there. But as I focused, I saw him clearly. A man was standing by the side of the building, near the old sedan. He was partially hidden in the shadows, his body hunched over, like he was trying to keep himself out of sight. I hadn't noticed him when I pulled in, and the realization that he'd been there the whole time made my heart skip a beat. I kept my eyes on him, trying not to seem obvious, but I could feel my pulse quicken. He was just standing there, watching me. I told myself he was probably just another driver who had stopped for gas, maybe taking a break before getting back on the road. But something about the way he was positioned, the way he didn't move or make any effort to approach the pumps, made me uneasy. I turned my back on him, focusing on the numbers ticking up on the gas pump. "Just get the gas," I told myself. "Get the gas and get out of here." But then I heard it. Footsteps. They were slow, crunching over the gravel like they were being made on purpose, like whoever was making them wanted me to hear. I looked back, and there he was, walking toward me. His steps were unhurried, casual, like he wasn't in any kind of rush. He was tall, with dirty, disheveled hair and clothes that looked like they hadn't been washed in weeks. His face was partially obscured by the shadows, but even from a distance, I could see the wild look in his eyes. Every instinct in my body screamed at me to get in the car and leave, but I froze. Something about the way he was walking toward me made it clear that this wasn't going to be a normal interaction. "Hey, man," he called out, his voice raspy and low. "Can you help me out?" I tried to keep my voice steady. "What do you need?" He stopped a few feet away from me, his eyes locking onto mine. For a moment, he didn't say anything. He just stood there, staring at me with an intensity that made my skin crawl. "My car broke down," he said finally, jerking his thumb over his shoulder toward the beat-up sedan. "It's just down the road. I need a ride." My heart was pounding in my chest. The way he said it, It didn't sound like a request. It sounded like a demand.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I don't know, man, I stammered. I'm kind of in a hurry. His eyes narrowed and his lips curled into a strange, unsettling smile. Come on, man, just a quick ride. It's not far. Every instinct I had was screaming at me to say no, to get in the car and drive away as fast as I could. But something about the way he was looking at me, those wild, unblinking eyes, made me feel trapped, like I didn't have a choice. I really can't, I said, forcing the words out. I'm running late. Maybe there's someone else who can help. His smile faded, and for a second, I saw something flicker across his face, like he was deciding whether or not to get angry. Then he stepped closer. You're just gonna leave me out here? He asked, his voice dropping to a low, dangerous whisper. You think I'm lying or something? I took a step back, my heart racing. No, I'm in a rush, that's all. He took another step forward, closing the distance between us. You think I'm gonna hurt you? At that moment, I knew I had to get out of there. My mind was racing, trying to come up with an excuse, a way to defuse the situation without making him angrier. But I couldn't think. All I could focus on was the pounding of my heart, the rush of adrenaline flooding my veins. I'm sorry, I said, trying to sound calm. I just don't have time. Before he could respond, I pulled the gas pump nozzle from my car and fumbled with it, my hands shaking. I could feel his eyes on me, feel the tension building between us as I tried to move as quickly as possible. Hey, he shouted suddenly, his voice filled with anger. Don't walk away from me. I didn't look back. I couldn't. I shoved the nozzle back into the pump and practically dove into my car, slamming the door shut and locking it in one fluid motion. My hands were trembling so badly that it took me a second to jam the key into the ignition, and for a horrifying moment, I thought the engine wouldn't start. But then it roared to life, and I slammed my foot on the gas, pulling out of the parking lot as fast as I could, and I sped down the dark, empty road. In the rearview mirror, I could see him standing there, his figure growing smaller as I drove away. He didn't chase after me. He didn't shout. He just stood there, staring at my car, watching me leave. I didn't stop driving until I reached a well-lit area, a small diner that was still open late into the night. My hands were still shaking as I parked the car and sat there for a few minutes, trying to calm myself down. I couldn't get his face out of my head. Those eyes, the way he looked at me like he was sizing me up, like he was deciding whether or not to do something terrible. For weeks after that night, I couldn't drive by a gas station without feeling a pit of dread in my stomach. I found myself glancing over my shoulder whenever I filled up, scanning the area for anyone who looked even remotely suspicious. I knew it was irrational. He couldn't have followed me, he didn't even have a car, but the fear lingered, like a dark cloud that I couldn't shake. Sometimes, late at night, I still think about him. I wonder what he was really planning. Was he just a desperate guy looking for a ride, or was there something more sinister behind those eyes? I'll never know for sure, but one thing's certain. I'll never forget the feeling of being trapped in that gas station parking lot, staring into the eyes of a stranger who was anything but normal. I've always liked the late night shift at the gas station. There's a strange kind of peace that comes when the world falls silent and all you have are your thoughts and the hum of the neon lights. Most of the time, the customers were few and far between. The occasional trucker stopping for coffee or a pack of cigarettes, a tired traveler looking for directions, but nothing out of the ordinary. That's why, when the door chimed that night, just after 1 a.m., I didn't think much of it. I was leaning against the counter, idly scrolling through my phone when the sound broke the quiet. I glanced up and saw him, a man, disheveled and dirty, his clothes worn and frayed. He looked like he had been on the road for a long time, and he carried with him an air of desperation, a kind of heaviness that immediately made me uneasy. I watched him for a second, trying to gauge whether he was just a drifter passing through or something else, something more dangerous. He didn't acknowledge me when he came in, just shuffled down the first aisle, his boots scuffing against the worn linoleum floor. His hair was long and greasy, hanging in tangled strands over his face, and he moved with a sluggishness that felt wrong. I shook off the creeping feeling that something was off. People came in here looking rough all the time. It was part of the job. Still, there was something about the way he carried himself that made me keep one eye on him as he wandered through the store. He didn't pick anything up, didn't look at the shelves or browse the snacks like most people did. Instead, he just wandered, his movements slow and deliberate, as if he was waiting for something, watching for something. I tried to go back to my phone, pretending like I wasn't paying attention to him, but my gut wouldn't let me. I kept tracking his movements as he paced between the aisles. He stopped a few times, his back to me, standing perfectly still, staring at whatever was in front of him for longer than felt normal. The hairs on the back of my neck stood on end. "Can I help you find something?" I finally asked, forcing my voice to sound casual, though my heart was starting to pound a little faster. He didn't respond. He didn't even move, as if he hadn't heard me. I was about to ask again when he slowly turned his head toward me, his eyes catching mine through the gap between the shelves. His face was pale, gaunt, with dark circles under his eyes that made him look half dead. "No," he muttered, his voice gravely and low. "I'm just looking." I nodded, though his answer did nothing to ease the tension coiling in my chest. "All right, just let me know if you need anything." He didn't respond. Instead, he turned away and continued his aimless wandering. Minutes passed, and I found myself growing more and more anxious with each second that ticked by. There was something unsettling about the way he moved, the way he lingered in the aisles without touching anything. I glanced at the clock above the door, willing the time to move faster, hoping that he would just grab something and leave. But he didn't. When he finally made his way back toward the front, I felt a small wave of relief, hoping that this weird encounter was over. He stopped by the cooler, opened it, and pulled out a can of energy drink. Slowly, he walked toward the counter, his eyes never leaving mine. As he set the drink down, I could see his hands trembling slightly. I rang it up as quickly as I could, my fingers feeling stiff as they tapped at the register. The silence between us was suffocating. "That'll be $2.50, I said, trying to keep my voice steady. He fumbled with his pocket, pulling out a crumpled $5 bill. As I took the money, our fingers brushed, and I felt how cold his skin was, far too cold for someone who had just come in from the mild night air. I handed him his change, hoping that was the end of it. But instead of leaving, he just stood there, staring at me, his eyes hollow and dark. "You work here every night?" he asked, his voice barely above a whisper. I felt my stomach twist. "Most nights," I lied, hoping he wouldn't ask for more details. He nodded slowly, as if processing the information. "Must be lonely." "Not really," I said quickly, my hand instinctively reaching for the phone under the counter, just in case. "I like the quiet." The drifter didn't respond. He just stared at me for a few more seconds, the silence stretching between us like a taut wire ready to snap. Then, without another word, he turned and walked out the door, the chime ringing as he left. I didn't realize how tense I had been until he was gone. The moment the door closed, I let out a long breath, my body sagging with relief. I glanced at the clock again. Only 2 more hours until my shift ended. I could make it. But I couldn't shake the feeling of dread that lingered after his visit. Something about him had felt off, like he was hiding something beneath the surface. I tried to go back to my routine, sweeping the floor, restocking the shelves, but the unease stayed with me, gnawing at the back of my mind. I kept glancing out the window. But the parking lot was empty, just the dim glow of the streetlights casting long shadows across the pavement. About an hour later, just as I was starting to calm down, the door chimed again. And there he was. The drifter stood in the doorway, his eyes locked onto mine as he stepped inside. My heart skipped a beat, and that familiar sense of dread washed over me. He wasn't holding anything this time, didn't make any pretense of browsing the store. He just walked straight toward the counter. Back again? I asked, forcing a smile, though my hands had begun to tremble. He didn't respond. Instead, he stopped right in front of the counter, too close, his eyes boring into mine. I could feel the tension in the air, thick and oppressive, and I was trapped behind the counter. What do you want? I asked, my voice shakier than I intended. He smiled, but it wasn't a friendly smile. It was cold, malicious, like he knew something I didn't. You don't belong here, he said, his voice low and chilling. I swallowed hard, my throat dry. What are you talking about? His smile widened and he leaned in closer. You think you're safe here, but you're not. No one's safe. My heart was racing now, the fear creeping up my spine like cold fingers. I glanced toward the security cameras, hoping he'd notice, hoping it would deter him, but he didn't seem to care. His eyes followed mine, and for a moment I thought he might laugh. I took a step back, my fingers inching toward the phone under the counter. You need to leave, I said, trying to sound authoritative, though my voice cracked slightly. His smile faded, and his expression darkened. He stepped closer to the counter, his hands gripping the edge as he leaned forward. Or what? He asked, his voice dripping with malice. I felt a surge of panic rise in my chest. My mind raced, trying to figure out what to do. He was bigger than me, stronger, and there was no one around to help. The parking lot was empty, the roads deserted. It was just him and me. I reached for the phone, my hand trembling as I dialed 911. But before I could press send, he lunged forward, grabbing my wrist with a force that made me gasp. His grip was tight, his fingers cold and unyielding. Don't, he growled, his eyes wild with fury. I froze, my heart pounding in my chest as I stared at him. His face was inches from mine, his breath hot and foul. I could see the anger in his eyes, the way his body tensed like he was ready to snap. For a moment, I thought he might hurt me. I thought he might do something terrible. But then, just as suddenly as he had grabbed me, he let go. He straightened up, his expression unreadable as he stepped back. You're lucky, he muttered, his voice low and dangerous. But next time, you won't be. And with that, he turned and walked out the door, disappearing into the night. I stood there for a long time after he left, my heart still racing, my mind struggling to process what had just happened. I wanted to believe it was over, that he was gone, but the fear lingered. His words echoed in my mind, haunting me. I didn't finish the shift. I couldn't. I locked up early, called my boss, and told him what had happened. He told me to go home, that he'd call the police and have them check the cameras. But even after I left the gas station and drove home, I couldn't shake the feeling that he was still watching, still waiting. I quit the job a few days later. I couldn't bring myself to go back, not after what happened. I never saw him again, but I knew he was out there somewhere. And I wonder if one day I'll run into him again.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.